Hey everybody, it is Yvonne Camper. How are you? I hope you guys know that I love you and that I deeply care about you, and it's my job and my soul's desire to make sure I create content that's quality, and not just quality, but that it really, really, truly helps you in your walk, in your life, especially your prophetic walk. I want to tell you that as a prophet, you are so important to the body of Christ, and don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you anything different. So I really try to really speak what I feel like is on the heart of God. I'm not trying to be trendy or stay in step with any other voice. I just want to make sure that I am declaring what is on the heart of the Father concerning you, the people that listen to me. So the message that the Holy Spirit gave me today is called Don't Die in the Wilderness. I want to tell you, those of you watching me on Facebook, those of you watching me on YouTube, make sure that if you have any questions that you can put them at the comments below. And also like, share, subscribe for YouTube. Make sure you click your notifications so that anytime I post a video, you will be notified. But I want to really talk to you about this that's what's on my heart, because I coach a lot of people. I have logged a lot of coaching and mentoring hours. And one of the constants that I see is before I can even get to the meat of the discussion, before I can even get to the core of why people want to coach with me, whether it's business or personal, one of the first things I've run into is forgiveness. I have to ask them, who do you need to forgive? The religious response would be, oh no, I've forgiven everybody, especially if you've been in church for any amount of time. But the wise response is, let me ask the Holy Spirit, because things can be unearthed in different seasons of your life that you may not have had access to in a previous season. And I've asked people, like, who do you need to forgive? And they come with a significant list of people they need to forgive. And I go over this through my life too, because life happens. We come in contact with people. We interact with people. We have conflict with people. We will never stop having conflict with people as long as you're on the earth. And sometimes somebody can do something to you that may seem so minuscule and insignificant, but it could be something that hurt you and that you didn't think that you needed to forgive that person for. But I always want to put that out there, because that is one of the ways that Satan has legal right to destroy your life, to torment you, to intercept prophetic words, is if we give them the right. And I really try to really impress to people I minister to that Satan cannot destroy you unless he has legal right. He still has power, but he's been stripped of his authority. We walk in the authority because we have the blood and we have the word. And you've heard me say in previous videos that we outrank Satan by possession and by position, because we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that Satan has no authority over you. So I want to talk to you about don't die in the wilderness. There is another wave of revival coming. I feel it. I sense it in my spirit. The winds of change are coming. I did a video, which for I'll post in the comments, is called The Winds of Change. And things are happening in the realm of the spirit. And as a prophet, your prophetic responsibility is to keep yourself in a place where you can hear the voice of the Spirit, and that you are able to convey messages and information to the people that you have influence over. And so because I have influence over the people that watch me, I really try to keep my ear on the pulse of heaven so that I can give you words that are in season. I love the Bible when it talks about the sons of Issachar, that they had an understanding of the times and the seasons so that the children of Israel knew what to do. And I think that's one of our greatest prophetic responsibilities. So I want to say this. So the greatest asset for me, I do this because it's a call, because it's my responsibility. It's not my, I am not, my identity is not, I'm a prophet. My identity is in Christ. My function is prophetic. The gifts that Jesus gave in Ephesians 5 were functions. They weren't titles and they weren't your identity. So that is why I do what I do. So let's talk about the wilderness. But I feel like even in the midst of doing all that, that my greatest asset is my mental health. my mental disposition? Is my mind in tune with heaven? Have I girded up the loins of my mind? Have I dealt with trauma? Have I dealt with situations that can position me wrongly in the kingdom? Am I staying on top of my mental health? Because that is my greatest asset as a person and as a prophet. I've seen so many people in ministry that are, they may be anointed beyond anything you can imagine, but they are struggling with their mental health. So I want to encourage you before I go into the message, make sure that you are taking care of your mental health, your mental disposition. You're dealing with everything you need to deal with. You're getting help when you need it. I get help when I need it. And I am constantly renewing my mind to the Word of God, to the things of God. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That is the first thing that you need to make sure that you have control over and that you are effectively managing. That is your mental health. So let's talk about don't die in the wilderness. The first thing that the Holy Spirit showed me, that the wilderness, when we hear the term wilderness, the first thing that pops in our mind is the children of Israel, because they spent so much time in the wilderness. But this is what the Holy Spirit showed me, that the wilderness was and is an entry point into destiny. The wilderness is not a place that you go and get stuck. It's not a place that you stay forever. He told the children of Israel, you have skirted this mountain long enough. It's time to go north. But if we look at the, I want to shift the paradigm a little bit. And let's look at the wilderness. John the Baptist was one crying in the wilderness. He was the greatest forerunner in the Bible. His ministry preceded Jesus's ministry. Jesus was baptized and anointed with power in the Judean desert. And it says that he came out after he was tempted by the enemy, and he stayed those days in the desert. The Bible says he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the children of Israel, I want to use this because this is an indication of how you can get stuck in the wilderness. They left Egypt and had an 11-day journey into the promised land, and they wandered and circled for 40 years because they were afraid, because they were mad at God, and because they were mad at Moses. They were like, you took us out of Egypt to die. At least we had something to eat there. They missed the mark. They missed the whole purpose of leaving Egypt. And it says that over 1 million people, if we think about all the people that left Egypt, you know, the Bible says that the children of Egypt left, the children of Israel left, and a mixed multitude. Over 1 million people died in the wilderness. Of all the adults that went over into Canaan, only two were remaining. That was Joshua and that was Caleb, because they were so mad at God and so mad at Moses that they were not allowed to cross over or go in. And this is what the Holy Spirit said, the purpose of the wilderness. The wilderness is where God tests trailblazers, innovators, pioneers, forerunners. It is an irreversible demarcation in time. If you've been in the wilderness for any amount of time, I don't care if it's been 6 months, a year, 3 months, 3 weeks, it's because God is anointing you. Jesus came out in the power of the Spirit. You are a forerunner. You are a trailblazer. God wants to use you in a significant way, but we all have to have that wilderness experience so God can strip us of our dependence on ourselves and make us dependent on Him and on His Word. Always remember that Jesus' battle strategy was, it is written. When we are in wilderness experiences, it is time for us to stand on the Word of God. It doesn't matter how things look. It doesn't matter how things sound. Our strategic position is, it is written. God is making you into something that you don't have the capacity to make yourself. He told the children of Israel, it is I that led you into the wilderness to test you and try you, to show you what was in your heart. There we are in the wilderness because one of the other reasons we're in the wilderness is because God is trying to strip you of you. He is trying to disconnect you from being dependent on yourself and making you dependent on him. Proverbs says, blows that hurt drive out evil. But just because God uses the wilderness to enhance you, increase you, strip you, train you, create you, doesn't mean that you need to get stuck there. One of the main reasons is because we don't know how to forgive. I remember my wilderness experience and I had a lot of pain. I went to a ministry that I thought, oh my God, I'm gonna flourish here. The anointing is high. The preaching is amazing. The worship is awesome. But that was probably one of the worst church experiences I ever had. But God commanded me to stay there because he was making me who I am today. If I had left prematurely because it hurt, because I was ostracized, because I was rejected, I would not be doing what I am doing right now. So I don't want you to get discouraged in the wilderness, and I definitely don't want you to die in the wilderness. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit had to show me and strip me from when it was time for me to leave that ministry was offense. The psalmist wrote, great peace have them that love the law. It is written, and nothing shall offend them. When you are full of the word and the word is your strategic positioning, then nothing shall offend you. I had to get over offense before God completely removed me from that ministry and moved me into purpose. This is a sidebar, but I want to say this. Some of you are at the beginning of what God has called you to do. David had three anointings. He was anointed king before he ever took the position. Then he was anointed to be king over Judah. And then he was anointed to be king over all of Israel. So God is systematically moving you into purpose. But I want to tell you that this is the season that it's time for you to forgive. I don't care what happened to you. It's time for you to forgive your parents, your sister, your boss, your pastor, your ex-husband, ex-wife, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, your perpetrator. It is time to forgive. The Bible says, Jesus said, vengeance is mine and I will repay. And so it is not our responsibility to get vengeance. If you don't forgive, if you don't release, you are not going to cross over and the winds of change are going to blow right over you and you're going to look at your life 30, 10, 15 years from now and you're going to be in the same place that you were where I'm talking to you right now. It is time to forgive. People, your life could be completely locked up for years if you don't learn how to forgive. I prayed for a woman this morning where I, in the spirit, I saw a vision of a road in front of her, and that road was so twisted and crooked and winding that there was no way that she could make her way out of where she was. And as we began to pray for her, she began to share how God had been dealing with her for 3 years about forgiving people she needed to forgive. So I want to encourage you again that it is time to forgive. Anybody that listens to me, you know I talk about this a lot because that is the one thing that destroys believers is unforgiveness. John Bevere wrote a book called The Bait of Satan. If you have not read that book, it is a powerful book to read. And Jesus also said that if you're coming to the altar and you have an ought against your brother, that you leave your gift at the altar and you go and you make amends and you reconcile with your brother. It doesn't matter how much you give. It doesn't matter how much you sow. It doesn't matter how much time you spend in church. If you have not forgiven, God said, because you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. That is a principle. I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care how prophetic you are. I don't care how many classes you've taken on the prophetic, how astute you are in the prophetic. If you don't know the elementary principle of forgiveness, God cannot use you, and you will become a poison more than you will become a blessing to the body of Christ. And I've been there. I remember my mentor said to me, she said, you're not offended. You carry offense. Meaning that because I allowed myself to get trapped in the snare of offense, that anybody at any moment could offend me and I would be stuck for months and weeks and years. But I believe that you're not going to die in the wilderness, and this is your season in the Holy Ghost to be set free. So this is the so the Greek word, and I've never looked this up before, so this is really news to me and it's powerful. The Greek word for forgiveness is aphemi, and that means to separate, to put distance between, to hurl. If any of you like sports and we look at the shot putter or the person that throws the discus, that literally means to hurl. They use all their force and all their strength to throw that thing as far away from them as they can. And that's the premise of forgiveness. It means to forsake, to detach from oneself, to set free, and to divorce. When you divorce, the splitting of a force, unforgiveness has a force that runs down your life and destroys everything that you come in contact with. You wonder why you can't keep relationships, because you don't know how to forgive. Anger is one of the primary signs of forgiveness. It's a secondary emotion of hurt, but it's one of the primary signs of forgiveness. If you're still angry at somebody, that means you have not forgiven them. You have not forgiven them for hurting you. And so it's time to let that thing go. And so I want to read. So what does God say? I want to read Matthew 17. I'm gonna kind of do an overview of Matthew 17 and Matthew 18. What does God say about forgiveness, and what is God's position on forgiveness? I'm not just telling you to forgive because I think it's a good ideal. I'm telling you to forgive because it is a principle in God. It's a principle of promotion. It's a principle of blessing. It's a principle of increase. You have to understand, according to the word, and we're going to flesh this thing out, that if you do not forgive, you have locked God. God's hands are tied. He cannot do anything. He said, for God so loved the world that he forgave, that he gave his only begotten son. Charles Stanley said that when we refuse to forgive, we are saying that Jesus's death on the cross was not enough. So let's look at Matthew 17. I want to set the stage because Peter asked Jesus a very important question. So in Matthew 17, you have to understand that Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus and Elijah in all their glory. He watched Jesus heal a demon-possessed man. He watched Jesus do a creative miracle with his taxes. He told Peter, you go and look in that fish's mouth and you pull that money out and you go pay your taxes. And he Jesus talked to him about the principle of the lost sheep, that if there were 100 sheep and one went away, that he would leave the 99 and go after the one. You have to understand that God loves us deeply, that his affection for us is deep. It doesn't fade away. He's not fickle in how he feels about us. He loves us deeply. And then he was talking to Peter about how to deal with offense in your personal life and in the church. You're going to be offended. Somebody is going to hurt you. Somebody is going to disappoint you. Somebody is going to discredit you. That is just part of life. And especially if you are prophetic, you have to understand that rejection, that is part of the prophetic call. And I've said this over and over again, is that as a prophet, you are going to have to learn to deal with rejection. I remember the Holy Spirit said to me in the book of, I believe, Isaiah, or Jeremiah, God told him, he said, don't be afraid of their faces. And this is what the Holy Spirit shared with me about rejection. He said, if you don't learn to get comfortable with rejection, you will change your message based on the people. As a prophet, you have the responsibility to say only what God is saying, when he's saying, and how he's saying. Even in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel asked God, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, God, only you know. And so God was telling Ezekiel exactly what to say to the dry bones. Ezekiel didn't come up with a creative message. He didn't go study to create a sermon. He was saying exactly what God was telling him to say. And as a prophet, it's your responsibility to say only what God is saying to who he is telling you to say it to. And that's why getting comfortable with rejection is going to be so important as you go forward, because rejection will make you die in the wilderness too. So we're moving down to Matthew 18. And in Matthew 18, after Peter heard all that, this is the question that he asked Jesus. He said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times? And he's talking about, and so Hey, if you offend me 6 times, you have one more time, and I'm going to forgive you. But after that, I don't have to forgive you of anything. So he's saying up to 7 times. Jesus said, no, he said, you should forgive 70 times 70 a day. So 70 times 70, 70 times 70 a day. So literally that's 490 times that you should forgive on a daily basis. I don't think any of us have been offended 490 times in one single day. But figuratively, Jesus was saying, you are to forgive continuously without limit. Because he knew that we had a life to live. He knew that we were going to come in contact and in relationship with people that will hurt us, offend us, talk about us, put us down, fire us, whatever the offense is. He knew that we had to live this life. And so what he was saying is that you are to forgive continuously without limit. And so this is one of the questions I ask people. Write down everybody, and this is how I premise it. Don't tell me nobody. I don't have nobody to forgive. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit and write down every person who comes to your heart. And that is one thing that the pastor that raised me, the prophet that raised me, that is one thing that he taught me, was the power of forgiveness. If I didn't get anything else from that ministry, I learned how to forgive. He said that a man greatly offended him in ministry, and he had a beautiful watch that was given to him as a gift. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to give that watch to that man. And he said he was so hurt, he didn't want to give the watch, but he said, he took the watch off and he packaged it in a beautiful package and sent it to the man, and he released him. And after that, his ministry exploded. And I remember I was going through a situation in my life, and I talked to him about it. I pulled him aside and we chatted about it for about 5 minutes. And he said, your only responsibility is to forgive. And I know that the people that I grew up with, the people that were around me, specifically my siblings, I know that I was so, and I share this with my kids this morning, the Holy Spirit showed me this, that one of the reasons I'm different is because I learned the power of forgiveness. I learned to release people. I don't feel like that I have to get revenge. You know, we all have those feelings and we all have those emotions, but I understand spiritually, doesn't matter. I don't forgive somebody based on how I feel about them. I forgive somebody based on the principle of the Bible. So in Matthew 18, it's talking about the parable of the unforgiving servant. So we know this service. It was a man that he was forgiven a great, great debt, millions and millions of dollars. And his master forgave him, didn't throw him in prison and release him. But he wouldn't forgive somebody for, I'm just going to throw out a number, $1,000 debt. And when the master heard about it, he said, I forgave you a great debt, and you couldn't forgive him of a small debt. So the Bible says that he took him and threw him in the jail. In verse 32, I'm going to read Matthew 18, verse 32. It says, then the master called the servant in, you wicked servant. So he called him a wicked. That word wicked means twisted. Twisted in your disposition. Twisted in how you see life. Twisted in how you interact with people. He said, you wicked servant. That is more of an iniquity than it is a sin. If you're twisted, if you're wicked, there's something in you that's not right and twisted. He said, you're wicked servant. I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In verse 34, 1834 says this, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured, to be tormented until he should pay back all he owed. And so understand this, because he was turned, put in jail, he didn't have the capacity to work anymore. So he would have never been able to pay back that debt. It was a debt that he was going to never be able to resolve. And then verse 35 says this, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister. And he doesn't just leave it there. He said, if you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart, not lip service, like, oh, I forgive them, or I forget. No, not what you say, but what has actually transpired in your heart, that in the depth and the core of who you are, you have released that person of wrongdoing. They don't owe you anything. And I tell people all the time, when you have truly forgiven, they don't owe you anything. They don't owe you a sorry. They don't owe you an explanation. The debt has been canceled and paid in full. And so I just want to encourage you right now that if you have people that you know you need to forgive, I want to admonish you to forgive them, because a wave of the Holy Spirit can come through, revival can break out, and you can miss it because you are wallowing in unforgiveness. So I'm going to give you six signs that I think are signs of bitterness. The first one is that you are mad at whole people groups. Like, I hate all men. I hate all women. I hate police. I hate firemen. You are mad at an entire group of people because one person did something to you that hurt you. It's just like, I'm a woman. So just like, oh, I've had a divorce. I've had a negative relationship with a man. But I don't hate all men. I don't think all men are bad because I had a bad relationship with a couple of men. That doesn't make them all bad. And so one of the things is that you hate entire people groups. The next thing is that you hold grudges. A person that does not know how to forgive holds grudges. They can't release anything. They're mad at everybody. I don't care how much you talk to them. They are going to hold a grudge. The next thing that is a sign of bitterness is you struggle with envy and jealousy. You are in competition with everybody around you, on the job, at church, in your personal life. The next point is you cannot celebrate anybody's success. You are not happy for anything anybody accomplishes. Because again, when unforgiveness makes you selfish. It makes you selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed. Everything is about you. And one of the next points is that you reject all sources of help because you feel justified in their actions. I heard several people tell me, well, I'm justified in being mad at them, or I'm justified in unforgiving them. Not understanding that when we do not forgive, remember in verse 18:35, it says he turned him over to the tormentors to be tortured. A tormentor was a person in jail that had legal authority to torture you. So understand that Satan can torture you. He can torture you physically. He can torture you emotionally. He can torture you mentally. He can destroy your family because he has been given legal right because you refuse to forgive. The last point is that you are a gossip. You are the bearer of bad news, and you have a skill to find out all the dirt that's going on with anybody in church or work, because you have developed the point. The Bible calls it a talebearer, and he said that is one that sows discord among the brethren. But I want to say and encourage you that there is hope in Jesus. That God is not counting scars. God is not counting our offenses. I remember he said to me in the season of my life that was so crucial. He said, I'm more committed to your purpose than I am your failures. God is a forgiver. We have the clause for 1 John 1:9, that if we would ask for forgiveness, that God would willingly forgive us and wash us and cleanse us, that we are under the covenant of the blood, and the blood washes everything clean. So I really want to urge you to make a list. Ask the Holy Spirit, who do I need to forgive? Who do I need to let go? Because I really sense and feel that the audience that listens to me is that you are world changers, and that you are movers and shakers in the kingdom of God, and there's something so significant on your life. I remember I had this dream many years ago, is that I was in the ocean, and it was so real. It was like I was there, and it was water like it would be like at Hawaii or in Tahiti or in Cancun, beautiful bluish green water. And I was feeding all these elephants in the water. And I remember a prophet came to me. He said, you're going to feed giants in the faith. I believe that I'm talking to giants in the faith, but there's some things that need to happen in your life. There are people you need to release. You cannot die in the wilderness because somebody needs your invention. Somebody needs your business. Somebody needs your blog. Somebody needs your message. Somebody has need of what God has put inside of you. So let's pray. So God, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus that you empower your people to forgive. You empower them to release whoever it is that they need to release. And I decree that once that is done, that Satan cannot accuse them any longer. Satan cannot torment them. Satan cannot torture them, Lord God. Father, I thank you that it will be under the blood and that you would receive, you would see their sin no more, because unforgiveness is sin. And you said as far as the east is from the west, you will remember our sins no more. And so I thank you for the cleansing in the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the washing by the blood of Jesus, that you're cleansing their mind, that you're healing the hurt, God, that you're healing the disappointment. And God, that they are, from this point forward, they will be set free in the name of Jesus. And I decree it so in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Love you so much.